Is this, is it level? Because sometimes it's like, it looks like a sinking ship.
Yeah. I sometimes think when it's not level, it's part of the charm.
You could do that in post, you know. Just
I know. I could. I have done it once or twice, but then I've been like, no, that's kind
of. It's like of all the editing jobs, that is one of the easier ones.
I want the audience to feel like they're one or two beers deep, things a little bit.
Is that me?
Exactly. You know, not quite drunk, but there's just a nice little haze. Maybe I should put the whole thing just slightly out of focus too. This is definitely a microphone done by you, I can tell you that much.
Okay.
You're doing a great job. I really appreciate your work.
Mine's all right.
You're doing great. Okay, well, we're fantastic. Look at us. Just a couple of blokes.
Couple of guys.
Doing a podcast. Drinking.
Qingdao.
From China.
Because Tony's been in China.
And you spent a lot of time in...
I did spend a lot of time in China. Yeah.
Yeah, so this podcast, we're not going to talk much rugby.
No, because...
This is more of a travel podcast.
We don't want to talk about the rugby this week.
This is more of a travel podcast, so you're going to talk about your experiences over a long period of time. I'm going to talk for equally as long about my experiences in China over a shorter period of time. That's going to take up about 58 minutes of the podcast. And then we'll just do a quick like read through of what the results were over the weekend. Just like a Sunday afternoon radio announcer just going through this weekend's results.
Can I assure all the viewers who are looking for our tears, there will be timestamps below as to where you can catch us crying.
Funny old... Should we just... How about I fill up yours with this?
Okay, yeah, start with that.
We've got two of these bad boys.
Qingdao!
Qingdao! Brought to you by Sports Forecast.
Indeed, our sponsor for the week.
It really is a premium lager, though. It did have a couple. I don't mind.
Well, Qingdao, for a bit of history for you, because everyone loves.
Love a bit of history.
It was a city that kind of had the Germans, not quite officially colonize it, but it was
Is that why they made a lager?
That's why they made the beer in that area of the country.
I don't mind it. Honestly, I really don't mind Qingdao. I quite enjoyed it while I was there.
I've never been to Qingdao.
You know, it reminds me of like a spate.
Okay.
It's not quite golden. It's sort of like a more like a Max Golden sort of thing. But I was drinking out of the bottle. I was drinking the brown one. Is it the same?
Was it Qingdao? Was it Snow?
It was Qingdao.
It was Qingdao. Might be a more premium one.
I don't know. Oh, look. Doesn't feel too...
Not quite.
Now I feel really disappointed. Yeah, that's an unsatisfying feeling.
That's how we felt on Saturday.
Open your one. I want to finish the job. All right. You used to got this. Show them the amazing bottle opener I got. It's got a little bell on it, and it means open and
like good luck or good fortune. It's got a fortune cookie on the picture, so I know this was made for foreigners because fortune cookies don't exist in China. Chinese people do not have fortune cookies.
I got what given that at a trade show.
You got given it.
Mm.
Here I was thinking you bought it. What am I doing?
It's Chinese engineering.
What the flip? Oh, there we go.
Yeah, it's not the...
There's most... another bottle opener over there, which was a lot more effective than this.
But it doesn't have a dragon on it. It's just a standard...
Goodness gracious. I made an easy job look very difficult there.
Look, I'm going to give you a little bit of...
You're going to give me the benefit of the doubt?
It's not the easiest. And like, just to... Hold on, before you drink that...
Okay.
I'm going to just... Because we get shit when we don't have frothy beers. So I'm going to froth this guy up for you a little bit.
What are you using to... Oh, so the bottle opener.
Yeah. Now show them that. That's going to impress them now.
Qingdao!
Hold on, let me Qingdao with you. This would be a bad way to spill a beer.
Carpet as well.
Qingdao! It's not only a place in China... It's a drink.
Cheers, everybody.
So, yes, Saturday morning at 5 a.m., got back from China after flying through the night from Shanghai.
So, just over 12 hours before the match, 14 hours before the game.
Absolutely. And 12 hours of flight time. And, thought, what a great day of sport. The Warriors are going to be on. That's going to go great. The Box are going to play. The Box and the Blacks are going to go on. That's going to be great too. I saw significantly depressing afternoon. And I went for a run that day, and I was, because I'm vested in both results. We're not talking the games just yet, but I was like, okay, I'm going to give it a 25% chance that both my teams won it, and I'm going to give it a 45% chance that both my teams lost. It was we got the 45.
Let me take a guess that you were thinking Warriors probably not, but All Blacks probably get it done.
Maybe squeak by. I knew it was. I thought it was almost a pick pick 'em, and I was hoping the Warriors like got up. Warriors actually played very well, although the scoreline suggests
doesn't reflect it.
Doesn't it? No, they played much better than what the scoreline reflects. Okay. Anyway, they were playing Penrith, four-time defending champions.
Rugby league chat.
But anyway, yeah, I went to China. Great.
For work.
For work. I was there for 2 full days.
So you fly for 12 hours.
Fly for 12 hours. You have
a semi-day's rest.
Yeah, half a day's rest. Oh, no, I got there. Got to my accommodation about 4.
Yes.
Had a meal.
How was the trip from the airport to the hotel?
I really should have just jumped in a taxi because I did the whole e-hailing thing.
Yes.
And like I just got shouted at by a bunch of Chinese people, which is fine. White people also shout at me. And I eventually managed to find the right person I was with. And he was quite nice, actually. And he, while we were on the motorway, he drove over like a big plastic tub or something, and it got stuck under his car.
Oh,
and,
no.
Like, and he was like, don't worry, it's fine. I was like, okay. And then he stopped over the side of the car. And then he was like, and then he tried to get it out, but he couldn't get it out. And then he said into his translation app, he said, don't worry, I'll just turn the, because it was really noisy. He was like, don't worry, I'll just turn the radio louder and relax.
Nice.
I gave him 100 RMB at the end of it. Tipping's not so much of a thing.
No, you don't have to tip in China.
Yeah, and he was like, yeah, because some people were turning down my tips. And I was like, yeah, Mark would love it here.
Yeah, well, I did. That's why I stayed for as long as I did.
Yeah, no one wanted to be tipped.
No one wants tips. No, that's right. No, but there is a bit of a knack. I very rarely used ride hailing apps while I was in China. I tend to take public transport because I'm very cheap.
Yes.
But on the occasions that I did, there is a little bit of figuring out to do. Like, you got to show them a number to prove that you are the right, like, person to be getting in their thing. And then once you arrive, you usually have to give them something to, like, approve the payment or something.
Yeah, well, it doesn't. Because I
it doesn't just do it automatically.
And I didn't pay. I didn't know that. And then I went to my next DD, and I that's the name of the Uber app. And then I was like, and it was a much shorter trip. And it said you owe 287 RMB. And I was like, what? And I just hadn't paid the bloke
the previous the guy.
So what he been sitting there going?
This guy scammed me.
Really?
No, probably not. Yeah. I think he probably knows it's coming.
Eventually.
It'll come through the app.
Yeah. But now I worked out that you just got to...
You got to approve the payment.
I did think, though, if I was a dodgy fella, I could have got my one to the airport.
And just left.
And then just left.
Not approve it.
But I
you're not that kind of guy.
I'm not that kind of bloke. No. I went and did some shopping for you.
Thank you for your gifts from China.
China.
I'll be there in December.
Yeah. What are you going to get me?
I don't know. Maybe a bottle opener.
Yeah. I can always deal with a bottle opener. But no, what a country, mate. The scale of everything is just
yeah, that's the thing that, I mean, ridiculous. For the people who are from larger places than New Zealand, it's probably not so much of a shock.
Yeah.
Like I go to Melbourne and I'm like, geez, this place is huge.
Yeah.
So then when I go to China, I'm like, this is just vast. The vastness of it is quite incredible.
It just goes on and on and on. Yeah. It's just huge. Like the National Exhibition Center that I was in, by far and away the largest structure I've ever been in.
Mm-hmm.
And it had like 3 levels of just massive halls, and the bottom floor and the top floor are like have 8 massive halls, and the halls are like bigger than any convention center hall I've been in New Zealand. And I was in there FaceTiming Maddie. She was in the back of her car with her mum. I said, Maddie, like, look at the size of this. And she was like, wow, this is massive. And I said, in this complex, there are 16 other halls this size. And she went, fucking hell. And then she got shouted at by her mum.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
But she does that because... She
gets a response.
She does it because she knows she's got good comedic timing. And she knows that I'd be like...
Dad loved that one.
And I was just like, no, yeah, don't. And then yeah, she's just like, yeah, I can yeah, see you smiling, yeah, you no, dipshit.
Yep. Yeah. No, I mean, anytime I went to a large train station or airport in China, and then I come back to like Auckland Airport, I'm like,
yeah. Yeah. It's quaint.
It's quaint.
Our facility-
I feel bad to say that because I remember the first time I was in China, like I was teaching and I had like a calendar, yeah, which had like pictures of New Zealand, like beautiful spots. And one of them had like Auckland's skyline.
Yeah.
And like I showed them that and they no were way, one of those, like, that looks like a nice little place. And I was yeah, like,
hey,
little place.
It is a little
excuse
place,
me, that's the biggest city in the country. Yeah, but
it ain't the Bund, man.
It's a little place.
Like that Bund, looking over the river with the light show, that's fucking
it's nuts, incredible.
That's really, like, that doesn't get a lot of press around the world, but it's...
The Bund is the spot you got to go to in Shanghai to take photos.
The most impressive city line I've seen. I've been all around the world. Mm, like,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane, really. But it's, yeah, it's just a heck of a country. People very nice. Yeah, then the thing they say about New Zealand when they find out you're from New Zealand, because in the trade shows there was always very little English just in, mm-hmm, out and about, but inside the trade show there was a lot of people who everyone had like at least one person at their stand who could speak English,
mm,
and what, how do you say New Zealand in
Shinjilam?
Yeah, and they'd be like, very beautiful,
yeah,
very beautiful country, and you're like, yep, quite wealthy, and you're like, it's small, well,
it is, yeah, beautiful.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it is beautiful. That's like the, if I returned to New Zealand thinking it was a bit quaint, I also returned thinking, geez, our air is fresh.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
geez, our like sky is blue. You can see stars at, yeah, night, even, yeah, in Auckland. It's, you know, stunning, what I mean? Like in China, in the we big cities, lucky, you look up at night, you're like, oh, there's
Auckland, one star. Even in Auckland, like if you look at an Auckland topographical map, it's all water and volcanoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the beautiful views from here. There's, we've got water 100 meters just down that way. Mm-hmm. So work out where I am in the world. Where is Tony San Diego?
I don't know the next line.
Tony San Diego. You know the song I'm singing?
Carmen San Diego.
There you go. Okay, I appreciate that. But no, happy to make it home, but it was a great time. Would like to spend a little bit more time over there.
Yeah, 2 days is not really long enough. You need a week or more.
I ate a lot of food.
Good.
Drank a lot of Qingdao.
That's one of my favorite memories about, yeah, living in China, was just because everything's open late at night.
Oh yeah, it's awesome.
Like you can go out and, like, especially if it's warm, you can sit out on the street and eat street, yeah, food and drink beers, and back I used to smoke like a chimney and sit, yeah, there smoking cigarettes with my mates and drinking beers and, yeah, just talking, great, shit, and cheap beers, cheap food.
A mate of mine, a real good mate of mine who I've known since I was 12, he just happened to be going to the same fair and we had a great time.
Mm.
You know, and it was like, it wasn't actually exceptionally hot, it was like,
you missed the peak of their summer.
Yeah, just. It was nice. It was like outdoors drinking beers in 28 degree weather. Yeah,
that's a really good time to go.
And you're just like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Having a few Qingdaos.
Exactly.
And then, yeah.
Good sometimes food. Getting a cold beer can be a bit of a mission. They sometimes just have room temperature beers, which sucks.
He doesn't speak any Chinese, but he goes to China quite often.
Right.
He's saying like the ordering system sucks for him now, because now everything's done through apps.
Yeah.
And the translator, and he's like, I can't.
Yeah.
It used to, you just pointed a picture and go, that.
Yeah.
To,
everything on China is done on a phone.
Yeah. You can't pay for anything.
Well, you can pay with cash, but they're almost like taking it back. Away.
Oh, look. I'm getting texts from my Chinese people.
Oh, there you go.
Look at that.
They know you're talking about them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is...
Or do you want to buy chairs?
See, what is this message? Oh, there we go. This is me and this bro. They all took photos with you. Do you remember? They go, you remember me? We take photos?
There you go. Look at you. You look happy.
Yeah, I was. This is meaning nothing to them, but this is friend.
He's wearing a collared shirt, and he's with a Chinese sales lady.
Yeah. Friend, are you looking for the product that I deal with? It sounds dodgier than it is when I put it that
product.
Way. Product. But yeah, I'm back from China, and I got back in time to watch some rugby. Like, should we talk quickly about sports forecast for the Bears?
Yes.
Do we have sports a script?
Forecast. No, we don't have a script. But our man Graham at Sports Forecast, this is his third weekend of row sponsoring the pod. He is a genuine friend of the channel.
Friend of the channel.
Our channels, I suppose.
Yeah. He's inadvertently put things on Distracted Sports.
Yeah, not that he really wanted to.
Yeah, much to his disgust, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know.
This is not on Distracted Sports.
But, rugby forecast. It's got all the forecasts for the rugby.
Exactly. Yeah. When you think to yourself, which way is the weather going in the rugby?
Mm-hmm.
He'll tell you. And by the weather, I mean like, who do you, scientifically, algorithmically, who's more likely to win? And when does that differ from what the bookies say? Which I think is, you know, his little sweet spot.
That is the sweet spot. No, they've got heaps. They've got most, I think, of the major rugby comps. They've got obviously the international ones going on at the moment, rugby championship and whatnot, but also like, you know, French top 14, which is already flipping started, like all URC and Super Rugby and all that stuff, Women's World Cup, all that's been going on. They just got who's the favourites, how do their predictions differ from, like, what are the bookies think is going to happen? So there's all kinds of wee tidbits there.
It's all happening.
I'm going to have them on the channel during this week because this rugby championship has been so crazy that I want to see, like, what it's done to his forecast.
Can I have a chat with him sometime?
Yeah, you can. He's a good guy.
Fantastic.
His wife's a doctor.
Oh,
he's so married.
I'm
well.
Glad you said doctor. Yeah, lads.
Maybe you can get her to check out your peeing problem. I don't know. She's not
a urologist. I got a message saying, Tony, I think you've got diabetes. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Nah, I've had it checked out. It's just the diagnosis came back. I was pathetic.
The nerves of the game.
Yeah. Am I still wearing it? Has there no blackouts?
No blacking out. We've got sound.
Sorry, we had a 10-minute period a couple of podcasts ago where we lost.
Tony touched his microphone and it went dead.
Yeah. And then I touched it slightly again.
Thankfully.
Again. Yeah, I know, because it could have been ages.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
tutu'd with it.
A little tutu here and there. Okay, so yeah, we came back in time to watch the rugby. Did you watch the rugby over the weekend?
Tony.
Yes.
There was a game on.
Yes.
There was New Zealand and South Africa, and it was close at halftime.
Are we talking about the women's?
In the second half, it was a blowout. The Black Ferns got up.
Stick that up your ass.
Get in there, Black Ferns.
Yeah. World Cup, baby. Where it matters.
Semi-finals.
Yeah, they scored first. The box.
Well, they were doing all the kind of like trick plays and like 15-player lineouts and all two-player lineouts and all kinds of craziness.
If I saw that live, I don't think my heart could have handled the fact that they went up early.
Yeah, because we were supposed to pump them. I mean, we did pump them in the end, but it was a real much closer than expected in that first half. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk. Maybe we'll have a little chat about
that later. That's not why people are here.
Yeah, people are here because the All Blacks played the Springboks in not the fortress. We have the fortress, but we also have the graveyard. Wellington's the graveyard.
Yep.
It's where All Black teams go to shit on the jersey and die. And Springbok teams.
What are the big, we lost to the British and Irish Lions there. We lost to the Box there in 2018. We drew with the Box there the next year.
We lost to Argentina last year. There.
I know we lost there. Did we lose there and Canterbury? Was we lost? Razor lost at Canterbury. Maybe was
did
it?
He?
Yeah.
No, I thought we lost in Argentina. Argentina beat us in Canterbury. But no, that was under Fozzie, wasn't it?
I thought it was Razor.
It was Fozzie's era, that one. Unless there was, that was definitely Fozzie's era. That he had a loss here after the Ireland series.
Mm.
Yes, but no.
Did we still lose to Ireland there as well?
They
beat us.
Yeah, we lost the third test there in Ireland. Yeah, that was the decider.
Wellington.
Jeez, man. When asking for a 30-year stretch, could you just give us a
couple games?
Like a 6-month stretch? Something like that? That'd be nice. Anyway, I think if that game is played on any patch of grass in the world.
Thank God they didn't play that one at Eden
Park.
Thank
God they didn't play that at Eden Park. But I think if they played at Eden Park, they would have got the chocolates.
Oh, they would have pumped us.
Yeah. Because, Mark, it pains me to say this, they are a better rugby team than the All Blacks. That's what you want to hear. They are in all facets of the game. Well, like I think what the All Blacks have always been traditionally very, very good at throughout our lifetime, and we've always considered rugby to be a catch, pass, run game.
Mm-hmm.
And it is still a catch, pass, run game, but it's far more. It's the emphasis on dominance at set piece, mm-hmm, time, and the aerial battle. And I think the little brother of those components is now catch, pass, run. So the fact that we are just so far below
the standard
of them in the key parts of the game, we're just so desperately in the wrong parts of the field constantly. Yeah. So we've had to rely on these individual parts of individual brilliance. But the thing that you've got to take your hats off to the Springboks about over the weekend, the better team, they were better at catch pass run too.
For sure. They had everything.
Yeah, it just clicked. The first half it didn't click for them.
No, that's right. I was getting vibes of the Eden Park game in that first half, and that they still had more ball. That was the same as Eden Park.
Yeah.
And they kept just dropping it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you saw my review, but I looked at the amount of knock-ons they made in the first half, and according to ESPN, it was 11.
Yeah.
And I checked their stats from all of 2024.
Yeah.
And the most knock-ons they had made in any one game was 11.
Jeez.
So they had in their first half the equivalent of their worst ever game last year for handling in one half.
Jesus.
That's
and the amount insane. Of injuries. And
the threat was, again, going back to Eden Park as well, is that if they had clicked and taken a few chances,
yeah,
good things for them could potentially happen, and it did.
Oh, shit, yeah. I kind of feel as though we played well and they played badly at Eden Park.
Yeah, I mean, there were, to be honest, the feedback for the most recent game, there were so many really nice comments who were saying, like, don't worry about it. Like, it's one game.
They're trying to console us.
Yeah, you guys pumped us 57-0, it was a turning point for us. You guys will be back. The rivalry is great. It's one game. Don't get too down. Blah, blah, blah. There was heaps of that. There were a small handful who were like, oh, it would have been like that last week if not for the ref. But
I think there was a bit of referee bashing the week before.
Last, the Eden Park game, there were certain things that we did better than them. Like, our lineout was a bit better.
Yeah.
Whereas that didn't happen this
game. Our lineout was a shambles.
And we tackled better than them in that, like, just percentage-wise, this time, fuck no. Like, we were way worse. Like, so many of those key, we caught more high balls last week, you know?
Yeah.
So many of those things that we could do, not even that well, but at least a bit better than them last week, it wasn't even a contest this week.
And they just clicked. I almost feel like last week I said something that I kind of think I was fibbing.
Mm.
Where you said to me, if the Eden Park game went another 10 minutes, you still think we won that? And I said, yes, I do.
Like, I asked that because they missed so many chances.
Yeah. So, but I think that it almost felt like a 160-minute game, and the pressure that we were under from Eden Park just been pinned carried down over. The wrong end, just carried over. And we still managed to hold out for another 40 minutes. Looked, had some really nice moments. I thought our attack started to look quite nice at times.
Yeah.
But then it just, after, 120 minutes of pressure, that last 40 minutes, especially that last 15, 10 minutes,
yeah,
the floodgates opened and we had nothing left.
That's it.
So, and I think the most disappointing thing as an All Black supporter is, I've never seen it before, but the All Blacks dropped their heads and just
waved the white flag.
The Springboks didn't
do that thing that sometimes teams do when they're ahead. They didn't take their foot off the gas.
They did what I've seen the All Blacks do to other
teams.
So many times, which I haven't seen them do for ages. We have not seen a clinical dominant performance by the All Blacks under Razor yet. We just haven't in 2 years. We've seen them win some decent games, beat Ireland, just taking care of the English a number of times. This French team wasn't that bad. The one win out of four against South Africa, won the Bledisloe last year in a scrappy performance against a team that we're not going to face in a couple of weeks. But they dropped their heads and players were panicked. They were rushing out of the line. They lost all their defensive systems. And Scott Barrett is looking like he's a great player, but he has got so much to show to prove that he's an international level captain. Mm. He was a very good captain at Crusader level, but at All Black international level, that was the moment where you would have seen Kieran Reid, Richie McCaw, Tana Umanga, Sean Fitzpatrick, these blokes go, get the team together and work on what the fucking next task was actually going to be and what the process was to get themselves back in the game to get momentum. But blokes completely shat the bed, were rushing out of the line, opening up massive gaps, letting players like Snyman just completely waltz
run through. Yeah.
They had lost their heads completely. So and Kieran Reid is the only pundit who has indicated that he thinks something is seriously wrong within the All Black camp. Everyone else has kind of gone
wishy-washy, trying
to find a way to kind of, roll a turd and glitter.
Mm.
But he was the only one who came out and said, it's a clear indication that there's something wrong within this team. And, you know, I think big way that the, a lot of the pundits are doing it is they're saying, well, this is just an incredible Bok team. And that's true. But All Black teams, their scoreline's a record for a reason. We've never seen it. We've never seen that sort of display. There's
other games where we've been, like, just bossed, but we don't usually get flogged.
Yeah, we don't like, roll over.
You remember that semi-final we lost in 2019 against England?
Yeah.
We were... well, the second best team in that game.
Oh, yeah,
we
were
dominated basically from start to finish. But the scoreline wasn't embarrassing.
Yeah. We were holding on.
We still didn't like collapse.
Yeah.
And like you say, you do have to give a fair bit of credit to the box there for just not like taking the foot off the jugular, for just keeping on going and going and going. But
being clinical, being ruthless.
Part of that is the ABs as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's... just how, you know, what was worrying me is like a couple of podcasts ago, we said that was the worst backline performance we've seen.
What's strange about this game is in that first half where we scored that try through Carter,
that was
probably the best I've seen the All Blacks backline click this entire rugby championship.
Yeah, it was like champagne rugby. That's what you want to see.
Oh, and again, that's what we've been waiting for.
Yeah. Here it goes. And then the fact our fucking forward pack completely fell apart. But for me, the two most significant moments of the game were we're up, was it 7-0 or whatever it was? And
7-3 maybe, yeah.
And we're still looking sharp, and we're looking like the attack line's
thinking going. About the intercept?
Yeah, and Colby's intercept. Massive moment.
I don't know if Colby had hit his best form this tournament, but holy fuck, did he light it up in Wellington. He loves Wellington, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He did that back in 2018 as well.
He was just everywhere. Like, I was watching with a group of mates of mine, and every time he got the ball, everyone groaned.
Yeah.
Oh, God, he's my there son, too.
He didn't watch the entire game with me, but he was sitting there watching the extended highlights with me. And he was watching Colby, because I don't think he's ever really seen him play before.
Yeah.
And he was like, he must be the best player on their team. And I'm like, he's pretty fucking good.
He's pretty good. Yeah, he was insane. He was absolutely everywhere and doing incredible things.
Yeah.
So that was the number one significant moment. And then the next most significant moment in the game was they came out like a bat out of hell in that first half. They were completely dominant over us. We finally got, they scored a try, pushed it out to 17-10. And we finally got some possession. We got some possession and a penalty down their end. And this is our moment to like...
get the momentum back.
Get the momentum back, draw it level. And we completely fuck the line out. Like
the lineup was shocking.
That was, and then immediately from that, they get possession, put up a high ball, get the ball back off that, freaking get a penalty, go down our end and score, and that was the game. And then they broke our souls, they ripped our hearts out of our chest from there, and then just took shits on us for the rest of the game.
What's crazy about that as well is how many injuries they had in the first half, especially to their back line.
I was thinking, geez,
like Sasha goes off, Marnie comes on, and
Marnie played so good.
I love Marnie.
Yeah.
Because I reckon he's the best Bok 10 at like getting fluid, like what...
yeah,
like the Carlos we talked about, him, like Carlos Spencer, just getting that silky shit going, like beautiful rugby.
Yeah,
and he's got a high ball that fucking gets a massive hang time on it. Yeah. So, but he can be a guy that under a bit of pressure, if the forward pack's not getting the go forward, he's not always the guy. And if he's got like the goal kick to win the game, he's not the kind of ice in his veins guy.
Pretty well this game,
but geez, did he do everything right? But he had to boss the game. Which would have had a lot of South African fans when Sasha went off going a bit like, ooh.
I was thinking...
and they lost... who else did they lost? Fussy in the first half. Yeah, Reinach went off, but he came
Williams
back on.
Williams went to the wing and made the best winger's tackle I've seen.
That was unbelievable.
Will Jordan scores that, I would have said 10 times out of 10 times. But clearly not.
9.9 times out of 10.
Yeah, I just could not believe that.
Like, he's played wing in the past. Like, someone pointed out to me that like he started a World Cup game against Romania on the wing. Like, that's all well and good. Like, Jordy Barrett's played 10 against, I think, Namibia at a World Cup as well. Yeah. But that doesn't mean...
we used to put Sonny Bill Williams on the wing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To play the All Blacks in Wellington
on the wing
with your scrum half who plays a bit of wing on the wing, and for him to play like he did is bullshit.
Yeah, ridiculous. And pull off one of the greatest tackles. Unbelievable. One of the game's greatest finishes of all time.
Exactly.
Amazing. And then I just, when he was...
We lost...
I was thinking, well, I wasn't thinking that was going to win the game, but no. I thought, at the time I said, well, that's just going to make it look not quite so shit. And then we missed that. They're going to score two more tries. And it's just like, oh, God.
Yeah. We did lose Hotham.
Yeah.
Razor probably shouldn't have rushed him back so fast.
No.
Maybe. But they lost, I think, at least three players, right? They lost Fussy.
Yeah.
They lost Sasha.
Yeah, they but they.
Oh, yeah, I remember Willems. They had to go to the. He had to go to fullback. Yeah, and like Estes and had to come on.
Quite incredible.
Very disrupted backline. They still did that.
Yeah, and they just
and the scrums. They didn't get any better from last week. They were worse. No, if
Jason
anything.
Ryan said in the press this week, he said, "That will never happen again." It happened again.
It happened again.
It happened again. Like they're so much better than us at set piece. Like, I think they had a really shitty line out last week.
Yeah.
But their scrum was obviously dominant.
Yeah.
I think their line out was a little bit shaky early on.
They missed an opportunity earlier. I think their first penalty, Marks fluffed his lines.
Yeah, yeah.
So we kind of had a bit of a let off. But like, they missed so many chances in the first. I mean, I mentioned the knock ons, but like stuff like that as well.
Yeah.
They're going to try
call back after the penalty was taken.
Yeah, the conversion.
Yeah, the conversion.
They had the knock-on one, and they had Jordy Barrett stopping Colby. Like, they had chance after chance in the first half.
Huge tackle.
They could have been up, like, 20, 30 points in the first half if they'd been clinical.
And then it just clicked.
It finally clicked in the last 20.
And then when you put the fact that they've got the world's best aerial battle, the world's best scrum, the world's best line-out, the biggest ball carriers, most powerful at meeting the gain line... And you go, okay, that's your aces, that's all your cards. We're really fucking good at running and passing. And then they're like, but you have to do that right from your deep end all the time, and we lose hope. And then they're like, actually, we've taken that one from you as well. We're really good at fucking running and passing now too.
Yeah.
So it was just, I was jet lagged and just like kind of numb at the end. I was just like, if I was watching the extras, I was with my friends and they're like, what the fuck is going on? And I was just like, they're just better time. And I said to my friends, they were like, because they looked pretty despondent and bummed out.
Yeah.
And the guy's house who hosted, there was about 12 of us there.
Yeah.
We all blamed him. We're like, Jonas, this is your fault. You suck. You dick. Don't bring us around here again for the rugby. That's it. Not being serious. But my feeling was, I was despondent, but then I was like, fuck me. All you bastards get to move on with your life. I've got to go on the internet and fucking talk about this for a goddamn hour. And here we are.
But I mean, some of it was just, like, we had a 5-meter line out and they stole it from us. Like it was their throw.
Like they made the call.
Yeah. They just pinched it and then... Livock's pass to Damian Willems, it wasn't even good. Yeah. It was like above his head.
Yeah,
and he caught it over his shoulder still went through two tacklers to get a fucking try.
Our tackling was so weak.
Yeah.
And like tackling...
was it 71%? I think you're missing almost a third of your tackles.
The tackling was so, absolutely so piss poor. And that's, for me, that's attitude. You know, like not making your tackles, not making it hit and stick. Like.
How about that cross kick to freaking Peter Steph Dutoy?
Oh, yeah.
And then he pops it from the deck.
Yeah.
Like, that's bullshit.
Felt for our man Leroy Jenkins.
He got kind of stepped by Colby, but I don't think anybody's stopping Colby for that one.
Nobody in the world's stopping him. Not even us.
No, not even me.
Yeah.
With my gangly arms.
The only way you could have stopped him is if you accidentally flung out one of your gargantuan limbs and
I don't think that would have been enough.
Accidentally kicked him in the nuts.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Colby didn't even play the whole game.
Yeah, he went off pretty early in the
second half. Thankfully for us.
Yeah, well, I was like, thank God.
It could have been worse.
Yeah.
Are there any positives here for the ABs?
Not a single one. And Razor looks... Razor's, to me, has had... In his coaching career, he's had everything go his way. He's won... world championships at age group level, multiple ones of them.
Before he was the Crusaders coach, he coached Canterbury, and he was immediately and continuously successful.
Yeah, he coached Canterbury, won a championship, coached under-21s, they won the world championship.
Yeah.
coached like a New Zealand A team. They won everything they went on.
Crusaders won every season. Crusaders
7 fucking titles in a row, with many of them including the Springbok teams, or the South African teams.
Yeah.
Then coached the Barbars to beat the All Black A's. And we were just like, the man is a genius.
Everything he touches turns to gold.
And then we find, there's
New Zealand rugby, like, very reluctantly.
And because us, I was like, us, we're just like, give him the dub! Give him the, because we're just.
Didn't it seem obvious?
And he just seemed like he just had this ultimately, like, you still hear him talk and he's got this hugely positive attitude and he's like a Labrador and he's like, yeah, yeah, it's going to be great. Things are good. You know, it's a great, great vibe in the team. It's all about taking things. Like, he's just.
And they always talk about him being like this really great man manager. Like, he's just a great motivator.
Yeah.
He gets people to do, like, you know, play at 110%, that kind of thing.
But
it's just not clicked yet.
It has not clicked. We lost, what was his name? Bloody former All Black coach of the Blues,
McDonald.
Leon McDonald left.
There was a bit of that. Was the first maybe sign that not everything was, then, you know, hunky dory.
Yeah. So and then we're like, okay, oh, he's got it under control.
But is
and then
is this just are we overreacting to one game?
No, we're not overreacting to one game. It took Steve Hansen 91 games to get to 6 losses. It's taken
different players, Razor. Though.
It's taken Razor 20 games.
But different players. Our expectations just too high.
It's the fucking All Blacks. Like,
were we just spoiled throughout like that?
Have we been spoiled for 100 years? Like,
we've had bad teams. I mean,
we had a shit team in 98.
Well, I remember growing up, we didn't have the Bledisloes. I was like, this is bullshit. We keep losing to the Australians.
We went to and fro with them and stuff. We could lose it this year. Fuck, I tell you what. We had a shit team. I feel like we had a shit team in like 92, 93. You had a shit team in 98. We had a bit of a early 90s were a bit touch and go. Obviously a lot of repeated World Cup failures at crucial times.
But just, often those were very good teams who just happened to not be well
at the World Cup. That 2003 team was fucking unbelievable.
Yeah. 2007 team was also very good. So stacked. Good. Yeah.
So good.
So.
But.
There's a few like things that, and more than one could be true. Like, do we not have the players we used to have? Has the standard of the game just universally improved so much that there is more competition? Is there like not cohesion within the coaches and that they're not getting the best out of the players that we've got? Is it all of the above?
I think it's probably all of the above, but I think one of the key things to add to that list is the way the game is played has changed so dramatically that all you're focused on when you're a kid playing rugby in New Zealand, all they want you to do is just catch and pass.
Mm-hmm.
Catch, pass, run. Yep. Catch, pass, run. Catch, pass. And it's just like thousands and thousands of catching, popping, passing, running drills.
Mm.
Like, fuck all high ball drills.
No, they don't
like,
really.
Like, it's just catch, pass, catch, pass, catch, pass, catch, pass. So, like still, I feel like I'm better than 95% of the world's population outside of New Zealand at playing a game of donkey with a rugby ball. Like, because I'm just used to pinging rugby balls at people's heads and then pinging them back at me and been able to catch them. But, like, maybe in New Zealand I'd get smoked by people.
So we used to play a bit of force back at lunchtime.
Yeah, I guess a bit of force back, but.
Which is the game where you try to kick it at the other person and push them back. They have to catch it. But it's not a contested catch.
Yeah, it's not a contested catch. And if you get it, catch it, you get 5 steps forward.
Yeah.
So you're trying to force them back.
Back, yeah.
Let us know if you played a game like Force Back.
Does it have a different name where you are from?
But the fact that a little bit of scrum practice on scrum machines and stuff like that, line out drills, they were just seen as ways to restart the game so we could get back to catch pass running. And you think about the great All Black teams, they score great All Black tries from catch pass run and attacking kicks. I don't remember. The one try I remember from a great high ball was in. This is the only one I can really remember off the top of my head. 2015 against the French, Dan Carter puts up a massive high ball from about 10 meters outside his 22. He screams at Ben Smith to chase the fuck out of it. He goes up for a massive high ball. Like, was it against Michalak or someone like that? Gets an offer. Michalak's rolling around on the ground. Three of our players just absolutely destroy the ruck. Aaron Smith gets over it. Quickest ball you've ever seen out to Julian Savia, who fucking steamrolls three Frenchies. Oh, that's the only try I can think of. There's probably been others.
Yeah.
But
that,
like,
one sticks in the memory. You know, one thing about...
But there was a lot of good catch-pass run.
One thing about Ben Smith, though, he was very good at catching high balls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was quite the bomb diffuser at the back.
So was Corey James. So was Israel Dagg. Mills Morniana could catch the shit out of a ball. You know?
Is that how we need to start picking our back three?
Blokes who can catch the ball. Fuck, that's boring. Well, they were good runners as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
We couldn't catch a bloody high ball to save our lives in that game.
I thought the box was like,
even Moody, who didn't have he didn't have the most opportunities that game. He was catching high balls. Yeah. Ethan Hooker, that dude.
Yeah.
Catching high balls, contesting the high balls.
He had some terrific runs.
What a dude.
Yeah.
He's only in like his third test or something.
He's like playing the All Blacks is piss easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just runs it out of his own 22 and just sighs through our defense.
That was so I've never seen that. I've seen us do it.
We do it. Yeah, we used to see that.
We used to do it. Like, we are so tragic in the way that I turned 42 yesterday.
Was it your birthday?
Yeah, it was my birthday yesterday. And then for 38 years of my life, we have just fucked up teams. Like, sometimes made... I've always wanted to go into a game. Not that I'm ever played for the All Blacks, but my ultimate goal as a fan is for the other team to feel like they don't even deserve to be on the field with the All Blacks. And, like, I've seen them do that.
Mm.
Like, in that 2015... quarterfinal against the France when we went into that game with so many pressure demons. The fact that they were able just to dismantle them to such a high degree. Yeah. And obviously we won some close games and tight games in that time. But like, I just, my hope is that we just demolish teams. And it happens over and over. It's happened over and over and over again. But even at times where we've gone down, I remember like there was a time not too long ago where we would go down two or three tries.
Mm.
And I used to think to myself, oh, here we go. This is going to be tasty. This is going to be tasty. We're going to have this could be an amazing comeback. And you think about the 2013 incredible comeback against Ireland. Those blokes didn't lose their heads. They didn't.
Even when we were down, you never felt like we're going to lose this one. We're going to do this. We felt, well, comeback's coming.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like clockwork.
In that game at the weekend, when we were 7 points down, I still felt like, okay, intercept, and turnover ball.
The amount of injuries they've had.
We could get this back, but I felt like if we get two scores down, there's a long way back. Because we didn't look like scoring once, let alone twice.
No, that's right. We just didn't have field position, man.
Mm.
Well, we just can't get ball into the right places. We can see penalties at scrum time.
Yeah, the scrum was getting
demolished. Losing our ruck ball and we were going backwards in the collision. Like, you're not going to... You just...
Can't win a rugby game like
that.
You're
going to get pumped. And we got pumped.
We did. We've
never seen it. Never seen it. And, like, fair play to the box, man. Hell of an effort. Like, just to see everything click. I hope that gives people who have been giving Tony Ball a bit of shit and all that sort of stuff. They definitely play for World Cups and they play towards World Cups and they're not afraid to lose games between World Cups, which is what it is.
Mm.
But the fact that they know they've got this incredible element to the game, the base of the game, that physicality, you know, that great set piece, the great high ball, but to add that wrinkle, we've seen a couple of glimpses of it even last year where things came together, or the first 20 minutes against Australia when all four of the elements came together.
Yeah.
You guys, when you are able to play complete rugby...
Unstoppable force.
Unstoppable. Unstoppable right now. There isn't a team in the world that will beat
nobody's, the Springboks when they play. Nobody's like living with the box the way they played in that game, when they clicked in those 20 minutes. Eh?
Yeah, 100%. And it's sad because I've always thought that if we play at our
best, then we're
we will beat anyone. And if we play at our best and they play at their best, they'll still beat us. We're a better team. at this point in time. I'm ranting. Have I let you speak enough, or have I just been talking over you?
They flogged us, man.
They did. It's okay, mate. It's okay. How are you sort of taking it on the stream? Just like...
Yeah, it was just kind of acceptance because, like I said, we didn't look like we were winning. Yeah. It always felt like we were, like especially in the second half, it felt like we were kind of hanging on.
Felt like we were hanging on for two games.
When we were behind, like I said, I was just hoping turn over ball, do something magic, intercept, do something magic, because it didn't look like we're going to be able to like get the possession, turn the screws on them,
yeah,
go down their end, like go through 10 phases and then yeah, break their defense. That never looked like happening.
Yeah.
I was just hoping like intercept, turnover ball, broken play, do something magic.
Yeah.
But it just didn't come.
I think this is probably in the Jason Ryan's coaching career in the All Black time. He has been seen as a bit of a golden boy.
Everything he touches turns to gold.
Sort of returned us back to our sort of, you know, better days in terms of what the pack was doing. And we were saying that looks like maybe the strongest part of our game is our forward
pack. Yeah, forwards are looking way better than the backs.
Jeez, he's under some pressure now. And if you're the Springboks, if you're the Wallabies, you're thinking,
could be there for the taking. Shit,
man, this is the year, if there was ever a year to get this. And that Australian team has zero quit. They lost, in my opinion, discipline was their issue in the weekend. But they lost zero stock.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think. And that team has got some serious belief, whereas under pressure, they seem to rise and we crumble.
That's the thing. They were dead and buried in their game and almost made a thing of it, whereas we were dead and buried and just continued to keep getting buried deeper.
And we just were handing out spades. But it was.
Yeah.
It was fucking awful.
Mm.
Oh, what a disgrace. Oh, well.
I need to give a shout out to my man Eugene. He came over from South Africa for the Eden Park test.
Yeah.
Him and his mate Michael didn't come. But Michael gave Eugene a Bulls jersey to give me.
Oh, yeah.
And Eugene bought me a scarf from the Eden Park game, which is like a commemorative Eden Park test scarf. And he came over for both tests. So he's been like traveling around New Zealand after the Eden Park game.
I'm glad it was worth your while.
And yeah, I haven't spoken to him. Because I spoke to him after the Eden Park game. I met up with him in the city and had a yarn and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he took it on the chin, like, you know, oh, well, we lost, but we missed our chances and All Blacks played well. He's probably enjoying his flight home to South Africa right now.
Yeah, 100%. And look, I've got to be honest. One of my thoughts was at the end of the game, I was like, oh, man, the Bok fans are going to be fucking insufferable after this one. And then I've been actually pleasantly surprised. They've actually been very, very too kind.
Yeah.
It's a little bit unsettling. They're like, the Bok, you guys, it's not that bad.
Don't worry, you didn't get nailed.
Yeah, exactly.
We've had it worse.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you've done it to us. Don't worry about it.
I'll be back.
It's like, oh my God, they're giving us sympathy.
Yeah.
This is not good.
That's how bad it was. They feel
a bit bad for us. It's like, and it's almost as though, like,
oh man.
It's a little bit how you and I have turned into Australian fans because we're like, we need decent rivals. Yeah. Come on, you're just a group. You've been big. You're like, don't go to shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We've lost our last 10 games.
So they want the rivalry to be cracking, but it's pretty dominant for them in recent games. We've had the Eden Park win.
They've won 7 of the last 10.
It's pretty emphatic.
Yeah. You know what, I was also thinking,
I was waiting for Russi to like come out onto the pitch and be like, it's my house when he's in Wellington. Because
he was going off in the Bok though, wasn't he?
He's always pretty, he's a guy who's
with his heart in his sleeve.
He does.
Lately he came to the presser with a beer.
He did, he had a Steinlager. And he was pretty.
No, he had a Heineken.
Was it a Heineken?
It's a Heineken.
It was a Steinlager.
We'll go back and review the
footage.
Somebody
check the tape for us. But
ding ding ding.
He was very chill in the press conference.
He is.
He was very chill. He wasn't like, yeah, this is great. He was just like, you know, it's a game.
I didn't actually watch the press. I just saw some like small.
No, he was real chill. He wasn't like, you know, this is the greatest coaching moment of my career. He was just like, you know, it's a game and they beat us last week and, you know, they didn't rub it in our faces. So we're not going to do the same here. It's a game rugby. Things went well for us. So, yeah, very measured.
Well done. Yeah, well done, Springbok fans, for not being dicks about it too. I'm sure I would be the same.
You would be
I was,
gracious?
Yeah, I don't know if I would be. Would I? Was I gracious last week?
I don't know.
I did have that moment on the Kiwi Lads.
Yeah, you had a bit of a rant.
at
Vickenberg. You didn't go on the Kiwi Lad stream after the second game, did you?
I did not. I was with my mate, and I went to the loo just for a change. And then it's bad. I checked the thing and I saw those fuckers, Vic and, well, I'm sure they're lovely blokes. Vic and Vern were on there. And I was like, I'm not taking shit from those guys right now. So, like, yeah.
Just lay low.
I'm going to pass on that one. Oh, gosh.
That was emphatic, man. I've never seen anything like that.
Not in all
like,
we've
seen
days.
The Twickenham game, but this feels different.
The Twickenham game, I didn't actually give a shit. I really didn't give a shit because I felt like we were 3 days off the plane.
Mm.
We had a stack of freaking forward injuries.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of untested guys. They were at wildly full strength and they had like a 6-2 split.
7-1, wasn't it?
Yeah, 7-1 split. And just
late last minute, 7-1.
And they just came on and absolutely pumped us in what I would...
Cam Ruger got like a consolation, I think.
And it felt like the most friendly of friendlies for the Qatar Cup. And I was like, and they were like, whoa, that's amazing. And I was like, they were so... We were barely in the country.
This feels different.
This feels different. This feels absolutely different. I really didn't. I was one of those guys going,
an aspect of Eden Park sucked all the energy out of there, but they put everything into Eden Park?
Maybe. Maybe all the emotional energy went into it.
Mm.
But, yeah.
At least we've still got Eden Park, Tony.
Yeah. We've lost so many of our... big records, eh?
Yeah.
We have, like, not losing series.
Like, in the last few years, it doesn't feel like
every,
that long. It's like, Ireland's beaten us.
Every couple of games, we
Ireland win a series here. Argentina's beat us for the first time. Argentina's beat us for the first time in New Zealand. Argentina's beat us for the first time on their own soil. We're going to play Scotland in November.
Do you think, you know, this is going to sound real harsh, but one of the big mantras of the... all black jerseys, you're just a custodian of the jersey. Mm-hmm. It's never yours, and you've got to leave it in a better place. And I'd say players like Martin Nonu, Richard McCaw, Tony Woodcock, Conrad Smith, Kieran Reid, you know, the likes, these blokes, they 100% did that. You know, from an era of dominance, continued the aura, added to the aura, if anything. Like, I'm going to say some other players who are great players, so I don't think have left... The All Black jersey is now in a worse place than when they got it. This sucks. This is a horrible one to say. Beauden Barrett, the number 10 All Black jersey. He's 2-time World Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
But the All Black number 10 jersey is not in as good a spot as when he picked it up. Scott Barrett, the number 4.
You're just picking on the Barretts now.
Well, Rico Ioane.
Maybe Leinster can fix him.
Maybe.
Please. Leinster, do your magic with the Kiwi players.
Will Jordan's a great player, but the team is in a worse position than when we... Basically, this current era of team, or of players, are not leaving the jersey in a better place. The team is on a slide. This team gets beaten by the 2023 All Black team, and they get beaten by the 2019 All Black team. The team that lost to South Africa and the team that lost to England beats this team. They do. The jersey is, you know, the big mantra is leave the jersey in a better place. Mm. It's not in a better place. It's in a worse place. Artie Sevier is a once in a generation player, but he's not leaving his jersey in a better place. It's in a worse place. It sucks. Is that, am I being too harsh?
Maybe.
But is it true?
Is this just one game?
No, but like we're talking about all these records going.
But that goes back to the point is like how much of this is the rest of the world? How much of this is our players? How much of this is the coaching?
But you look at the All Black jersey in isolation and all that other, there's always going to be external factors. That is what it is. Is it in a better place or is it in a worse place? And it's not as it doesn't say. Did you leave it in a better place? Considered the external factors of the rugby world and how the game is played and how the game is played and the styles change. The whole thing with the All Blacks and like who they are as a brand and some of the key teams that you know under Ted and under Hansen were about always innovating.
That's the thing. That's been a bit of a conversation about how. like Rossi is the big innovator in the game. And like, you know, Fabien Galthié is a big innovator in the game. You know, these guys don't play the way everyone else plays. Like even Joe Schmidt, when he was with Ireland, like he revolutionized the way they play. Andy Farrell's taking the team in a different direction. These guys are trying to push the envelope. Yeah. Whereas do we see that from the ABs in recent coaching eras? Maybe not.
Maybe not so much. I've got a question for you, but this is, I'm going to do the thing you did last week. Don't do this in podcasts very often. I kind of needed to pee before we started it.
Okay.
And I thought, do I wait? But we've got a whole another game of rugby to talk about. But okay. I have one more question for you about the All Blacks saga.
Okay.
You can talk to the camera about some rugby stuff if you like.
Okay.
Can't wait to hear it.
You'll hear it when you edit the video, I guess.
I probably won't. I'll hear it when I listen to the podcast.
Okay. But yeah, I do worry we're talking a little bit too much about the demise of the All Blacks after one game. A lot of this is just South Africa is very, very good. And I don't know, like you look at the way South Africa's bounced back since, like the turnaround since 57-0. It'd be an interesting one to look at, like how the results have changed, how the playing roster has changed. Because I still feel like there's a bunch of players who've kind of come through that that low point and then risen back up. So maybe that's something that can happen with the ABs, with the younger generation. I don't know. There's a few All Blacks players in that team who are getting, I don't want to say long in the tooth, but there's a few guys who maybe they need to start looking at some of the youngsters to see what changes can be made. I don't know. It's a strange position to be in as an All Black supporter at the moment. But yeah, like I said, a lot of the South African fans have been talking about that kind of corner that was turned. So we'll see. We'll see if the ABs are able to turn that corner. Razor's only in his second year, but he's not had the kind of, I don't know, like I don't want to say immediate impact, but there's like the direction doesn't even seem to be there. If you could see what was going on and it wasn't quite clicking yet, it would, you feel like be more palatable than at the moment. How was your pee?
Fantastic. What are you even talking about?
I was just talking about how the fact that since Razor took over, like if you could see what he was thinking and the execution wasn't there, it might be more palatable than what we see now, where it just seems to be a little bit more at sixes and sevens. Like if they were trying to do something and it wasn't clicking, you'd be like, oh, okay, they'll get it. It'll come and they'll get it. But I don't know what they're doing.
Well, the frustrating thing is, like, I actually thought our backline looked as good as it's looked
under Razor
in that first half. Even though we only scored that one fucking awesome try. And I was like, you champagne rugby, that's All Black. I said that when I was like, that's All Black rugby. And I thought we had some really nice moments and it looked like our backline was finding space and we were finding a little bit of time to unlock that rush defense and get a bit of work on the outside. And we had a little bit of space on the outside when Colby gets that intercept, which was massive for the momentum of the whole game. If we get that try, if that try doesn't happen, I still think we'd lose that game just based on the quality of the two teams. But it's not about what you're thinking. It's about fucking what happens on the park. Like, that's all that matters. And what we're seeing on the park isn't the standard that we deem acceptable under any other coach. If Fozzie got the job, continued after the World Cup, and he had this record, people would be baying for blood.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely baying for blood.
And so, the fact that questions have already been asked about Razor shows how much goodwill has been eaten up. Because he came into the job with more goodwill than I think anybody. Maybe Graham Henry had a similar amount when he first got the job.
I don't think anyone has had that much goodwill. Because it's seven. And, like, when he lost that first game against Argentina, everyone was like, because that series against England, we didn't look great.
No, we looked average.
But we were just like, okay, well, new team, early season rest.
Yeah, they might have just got together.
Gave him as much fucking slack as we possibly could. But the Chooks have come home to roost, and there's some changes that need to happen. Like one more All Black.
You got one more question. You said you wanted to ask.
All Black question. Is this the time when you look at that Springbok team? And I heard this been brought up on the breakdown, and they said, like, what is it, like 2/3 of that team don't play for South African-based teams or something like that.
Is it really?
So you don't play for, like, URC teams based in South Africa or something. I don't know what the actual stat is. But anyway, okay. There's a bunch of those players that don't play for different teams.
Right.
And Australia are now getting players. They changed the rules that allow players from different teams.
Well, they haven't been using them yet.
Yeah. But we... Is that right? Well, they got Samu. Not Samu.
Ox plays in South Africa. Malcolm Park is in Japan. Detroit plays in England. Diaka plays in Japan. Nokia plays in the URC. Khaleesi, URC. Peter Steff, Japan. Visa. Oh, okay. They might be right.
Yeah.
There's certainly a significant... Like it's yeah, there's a significant chunk who play their rugby either in France, England, or Japan.
So we are using players who are playing abroad right now. Aaron Smith, Richie Mwanga, Brody Retallick. Who else am I thinking? Shannon Frizzell. And there's been countless. And then we're about to... I think we've really missed Talia this year. I don't know why we didn't select him for the series. We could have.
Because he's going to Japan. But punishment.
Fucking suck on my punishment. Like, he doesn't disgrace himself in the All Black jersey. He's provided some serious X factor for us. So, yeah, I think... is it time we stopped... I don't know. The fear is, like, if we do that, we're going to have fuck all good players in Super Rugby and our domestic competition is going to go to complete shit. Feels like it's kind of gone to shit a little while ago.
I was going to say, the sad thing is interest in Super Rugby, even with the guys who are here, it's not fantastic.
No.
Like, I mean, I've got two things that I can kind of point to. I run a YouTube channel. About rugby. Super Rugby content does not do very well.
I produce
Super Rugby content does not do particularly well.
Those are the lean months when we're doing this podcast. Yeah. When we're just like...
And just,
we enjoy it because we're
it's our teams. We're rugby fans. But just anecdotally, on the odd occasions where I bump into someone who's like, you're the guy from the rugby channel, one of the first things I always ask people is like, oh, you know, which team are you? Blues man? Are you Canes? Well, who do you follow? The amount of people who are like, oh, you know, like Blues, but I haven't really been following them. You know, I'm waiting for the All Blacks. You know, there's a lot of that. So even with all the guys here, I don't know that you're getting that much. Like, huge kind of interest. There's been a few storylines, like Moana Pacifica was a big storyline, but that was more about Ardy than anything else. So,
yeah.
I don't know that it's going to make a
huge
difference if you let some of the guys play abroad, because like I said, it's not bringing in huge attention as it is.
So should we do it? So imagine, take out the players from the South African team that are there, like no Detoit,
No Marks, no Colby.
Yeah. That makes a big impact.
You think it's a more even contest anyway?
Well, we lose some of our best players, don't we? They go offshore. So I don't think it needs to become a free-for-all. There needs to be parameters in place that are going to enable the NZRU to keep
going. Then the NZRU would need to get proactive, like what the South Africans do in terms of managing the guys who are playing abroad.
Yeah.
Like if you look at the BOC team... I don't think they've got any guys in their team who are like, my club has told me they need me back.
Yeah.
Like the Aussies have lost Will Scouten back to his club duties. I've been watching the Pacific Nations Cup, which has got Canadians and Fijians and whatnot. And all of their big gun guys are already back with their clubs. Whereas the Box have got a managed relationship with the clubs.
Yeah.
That they don't lose their big players back to club duty and priority for their international duties.
I think if... The All Black jersey has enough sway to enable players to stay in the country. It'll have enough sway for them to insist with those contracts, if they go to the likes of France, that if you want to sign me, I have to be available for international duties during this period.
So that needs to be partly NZRU doing that. Yeah. Because Rusty, I think, has said in the past, like some clubs we know, these yeah. guys can deal. Other clubs are more hardline. So yeah. we tell the players, look, if you go there,
you're fucked.
You're not going to be available for selection. Yeah, yeah. So,
and if you want to get an All Black, you need to go, you need to play for Leinster, or you need to play for Bath, or if you're going to play for Biarritz,
yeah,
fuck off.
That's it. Yeah, that's the kind of thing they need to be. The South Africans have been leading the way. That's another thing they've been innovating and leading the way with. That's one of the first things Rusty did when he took over the job was, I want the best players available.
I've always been a little bit tentative about it, but I think it may be time.
Yeah, me as well. I've always been leaning towards protecting the domestic game, but like I said, given the way that, just based on my personal experience, it's not setting the world alight in its current format anyway.
And the All Blacks are losing more and more often, and we're not
having... And if anything, the times when big All Blacks have gone overseas... It's actually been a big storyline here in New Zealand. Like, oh, Jordy Barrett's playing for Leinster. It's actually been quite cool. Like, oh, how's Jordy Barrett going to go in his Champions Cup campaign? Oh, they lost. They had him on the bench for their, you know, knockout match. And so it can still be engaging for New Zealand rugby public.
Should I have this beer?
Yeah, you should.
Baywatch. We've got to talk about the Argies and the Aussies.
We do. Sorry, folks. We've talked a long time about the All Blacks.
What's the time on that guy?
You don't want to know.
Is it over an hour already?
It's over an hour.
Fuck.
Our longest podcast ever.
It's an hour of tears.
That's what you're here for.
The Australians, the Argentinians.
I feel bad that game was a fucking cracker.
Real good game.
But the fact that the All Blacks lost by a record margin, it is absolutely overshadowed in every
Even
every
on regard. This podcast.
Exactly. We'll talk about this for 5 minutes.
It was a great game. And, the Australians did themselves no favours with their discipline. I thought it was a great...
Their penalty count was horrendous.
Yeah, their ability...
The Pumas kicked 7 penalties. They only scored 1 try.
Yeah, but they look so nice.
7 penalties.
They still look so nice.
They do.
Ball in hand. I fucking love... this is going to sound weird. It's going to sound like a weird kink.
Mm.
But I love watching Argentinians' feet. They have the best footwork.
Mm-hmm.
They're just these little...
Yeah.
Oh, I fucking love it. And, you know, like... I'm starting to become slowly more...
Their series against the Box is going to be really good viewing.
I hope so. But I think I think that rivalry with Australia needs... That's two really, really teams cracking on games. The up.
Yeah.
Like, I think the Box and the Wallabies have lost zero stock this competition.
No, that's right.
They're looking... The Wallabies have been a real feel-good story
for me. Prior to the start of the Rugby Championship, it was all about... The All Blacks and the Box. It was all about Eden Park. There was very little chat about how the Pumas going to do, how the Wallabies going to do. But I mean, we're 4 rounds in, and everyone's at 2 wins and 2 losses. So
with the Aussies on top.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit controversially.
There's a couple of forward passes
because they scored a late try, which got them not only a bonus point. Try for more 3 more tries than your opponent, but also a losing bonus point.
Yeah,
that puts them top of the log.
So the Aussies spent 65 minutes trying really hard to play rugby, but giving away tons of penalties
and breakdown was getting smashed,
getting themselves into a massive hole. And the Argentinians did a great job of just accumulating threes. Boom, boom.
That's
boom,
been their boom, thing. Boom. This they beat us the same way. We scored more tries than them. They scored more points than us.
Yeah, and that's, I think last time I checked, that's how you win a game.
That's how you win a game of rugby.
But then the Wallabies just thought, no, fuck yeah. We're still going to try and win. We're still going to win this. And that's where I think they're showing so much more grit and team unity and composure and hard moments. You know, if we take into account a number of factors now.
Imagine how good they'd be if they stopped giving away like 20-point leads.
Yeah, well, then they'll probably going to click against us. Yeah. The massive 20-point comeback they came back from against South
the
Africa.
Box.
First, we're going, whoa, holy shit, they've got something here. You know, actually, unlucky not to win that second game. I thought they even looked like the better team against the Box. I don't think the Box were at their best at that game. But they bloody really, really pushed it.
They had injuries in that game as well.
If they had injuries and maybe just lost a little bit in the last 5 or 10, but played outstandingly well. Against the Argentinians in that first game, to come back from a pretty overwhelming deficit in that second half and then to have the fucking gonads to go, nah, we're going for the
try. We're not going for a draw.
We're not going for the draw. We're going for that try. And then to actually be able to, you know, have the stones to put it on the line and actually pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
really, really impressive. And then to be so far deep in the hole, but still have the belief and the skill to be able to pull off almost a magical comeback.
Three tries in the last 15 minutes.
Grit, determination, high level skill, like high level athleticism, like really, really good signs for that team.
That's the stuff that you... I don't mean to bring this back to the All Blacks.
Yeah, I know.
But that's the kind of thing. Like, we are used to seeing a team which is three tries down and scores three tries, get into the final 20. Like, now's our time to shine.
68 minutes. Like, you've been teams that were like, okay, we're fucking 17 points down with 68 minutes. It's tough.
Can still do it.
Yeah, if we get one now, we could go bang, bang after that.
That's what the Aussies did.
Yeah.
Santi Carreras got a yellow card. Yeah. Yeah, and,
which he should have.
Yeah, and there were two yellow cards in that game, both for deliberate intercepts. There were three this weekend. Like, Colby did one. He caught it.
Yeah.
Try time. In the Argentinian Wallabies game, both the guys tried it and didn't get it. It's a high-risk, high-reward play.
100%. I really wish it was yellow card.
You wish Colby had not been able to catch that.
Yeah. Because it's an extensional, and if it sticks, it sticks, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. It's like a hard slip catch.
Yeah. Well, your man Sualee got another try.
Oh, yeah.
He's still got some power, that boy.
I told you he was good.
He's good.
He's real good, isn't he?
He's very good.
And I think one of the... Obviously, he's got great footwork, great power, great pace. But I think it's his buttery, soft, buttery hands.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely.
He always seems to have a lot of time with the ball.
Yeah, he's class, eh?
Yeah.
Class. He's got time and space, that man. Mm. Yeah. I like him.
Sonny Bill used to have that. You know, he handles the ball really just effortlessly.
This is like, I'll do this when I'm ready. But
yeah, I might be getting crunch tackled by somebody, but I'm just going to...
It's because you're just so physically fine in the situation you're in to be, and incredibly gifted in every way. Yeah, no, he's quality. He's going to be an absolute fucking handful.
And the only try the Argentinians scored was... a flipping charge down from Edmed, like
Edmed just getting into his little tunnel.
Yeah,
yeah. I was like kicking the ball and not realizing that
there's a big Montoya. Just charging.
It's just me that Montoya and Slipper look very similar.
They are both front rowers,
but they look similar.
They're brother from another mother.
They look like they really do. Look at their face; they've got similar color. Here,
I'm sure that's racist somehow.
How is it? They're both white guys.
one's a South American, one's a Southern Hemisphere. Oh, they're both Southern Hemisphere. Australian.
I don't know. It couldn't be less racist. This is the only area you've got of safe ground.
No, there's no safe ground anymore.
You're white guys.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's somehow offensive.
All right. Well, write your letters to 2 Cents Rugby.
Somewhere when I was watching the live stream, because Nisbo was commentating, someone was like, I wonder how many Mpimpis are going to be on the field in this one. And it was funny because Nisbo did get Diaka and Nokia, the two white locks around the wrong way. Yeah. It sucks getting old.
Yeah.
But
you know, TJ not commentating the other night.
He lost his voice.
Yeah.
Mentioned it. Like, oh, why is this guy McTavish commentating?
He was sick. He said he could have pushed it, but like he just didn't think it was going
to
be.
Yeah. You're like, why is this guy commentating? It's a big game. It's unusual to not have one of the big guns commentating.
It was an NPC.
The guy who usually does the NPCs commentating. By the by. We should be talking
about it. What an opportunity for him.
Exactly.
That's a beaver in the World Cup final kind of moment.
That's true. Yeah. The Argentinians not scoring any other tries is maybe...
the only concerning thing for them. Yeah. And because for a team that looks that impressive with
ball
in
that's
hand.
Right. Whether the finishing is not quite there. There was one point when they were up by a shitload. I think 3 scores up.
Yeah.
And they did get a penalty. And they were like, no, let's go for touch.
That was the time that shat on them.
And they fucked it up. And then the next time they got a penalty, no, let's go back to the threes. Back for the threes.
Yeah.
And I was like, come on, guys. You need to be getting tries.
Well,
just get one try from a charge down.
Do they? Because they won the game on penalties.
I suppose so. Yeah. But are you going to win it against the box on threes?
Yeah, if you get... the box won shitloads of games on threes. Like, if you're able to turn every one of your 22 visits into 3 points, I think you're in a... that's a fucking great conversion.
Good conversion rate of 22 entries or like just the red zone opportunities,
eh? Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So,
Santi Carreras got 23 points in that game. That's more than the All Blacks scored.
Is it?
Yeah, more than double.
No, but I thought it was a great game. Always great to see some daytime rugby too.
I love
played
it.
In the sun.
Sydney sold out. Like, Sydney is not a union town.
It is.
It's a league town.
Well, no.
Like, I mean, Sydney and Brisbane are still, like, Queensland and New South Wales are still the heartlands of rugby union.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No,
but in Australia. But to sell out Argentina is not always a given in Australia. Yeah, like, Townsville didn't sell out a week before.
I'm not saying they're not. They're definitely the epicenter of rugby in Australia.
It's not the number one sport.
It's certainly not the number one sport. No. It's the number three sport.
Yeah.
Number four sport. After,
because they have
NRL,
like,
AFL.
They have a ton of league teams. They got two AFL teams and one Super Rugby team.
And cricket is
big.
Cricket's the summer game. So it's cricket's bigger.
They got two. It's the Sydney Swans and somebody else. Or Greater Sydney something.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's two AFL teams.
Yeah.
So
definitely the Sydney Swans.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's Greater Sydney something.
Greater Sydney. Greater New South Wales.
Don't know. I'm not that au fait with the old AFL.
Mm. I've been to a couple of AFL games.
I've been to one.
I'm a Bombers fan.
Yeah, I know. Essendon.
Do you want me to sing you the song?
No.
See the Bombers rise up, up to win the premiership flag.
Maybe we need to send our guys to play some AFL, because then you get practice at the frickin' highballs.
Yes, indeed. You know what's disgraceful? The Rugby World Cup is going on right now. And we're at, what the fuck is the time on this podcast already?
We're an hour and 15. Hold on. The Aussies.
Gee, we're like a
Callaway on 67.
Yeah.
And then Dalgunu off the bench on 68. Bang, bang.
Bang, bang.
During the yellow card. Getting themselves back into it. Then they got this nice play where they're shifting it right. McCright taps it over his head.
That
one's not forward.
That's your one that's not forward.
That's your kind of 50-50, but they call that one forward.
Yeah, too much to the disgust of the Australian
fans.
The Aussies
might have scored there.
Yeah, it was a guilty edge. It's guilty edge? Is that the term? Guilty edge opportunity.
Okay.
Like it's, I'd say there's a 65% chance you score a try from that.
They probably score from that if it's not called forward.
Yeah, yeah.
So that, I feel like, takes away a little bit of the final one, but they, I think that final one had at least one, two forward passes in it.
But the
Callaway's pass to Dalgunu certainly looked to be drifting forward. And the Aussie commentary team can be a little bit one-eyed. Even they were like, this is getting called back. Oh, well, what do you call it? Robbed in Spanish.
Yeah, they were exactly. Right. That was a shocker.
Yeah. But what that has done is give the Aussies two bonus points at the top of the log.
Well done, Australia. If you win the Bledisloe Cup now, you also win the Rugby Championship.
Are you nervous at all for Leedon Park?
Yeah.
If ever there was a time where the Aussies felt, you said earlier, they feel they're a chance, this is the one?
Smell blood on the water, boys. Yeah, I think All Black team, low on confidence. There are one or two things that are going to happen. We'll win or we'll lose, which is a really dumb thing to say. But
either we smoke them or they pip us.
We will either come back with a statement
before fire and brimstone,
or we're fucked. We're completely shot. Our confidence
is
gone. It's an All Black team that we've never known the likes of, and we get absolutely diddled. Not diddled, but beaten.
Man, losing the Bledisloe would be crazy.
Losing Eden Park, so we could lose Eden Park, lose the Bledisloe, lose the Rugby Championship. So even if we win two games, we got to hope like fuck that the Box don't win their two games.
Yeah, we need the Pumas to take at least one.
Yeah, and the Pumas have been pretty good at taking one.
They were written off against the Box in last year's Rugby Championship, that's right. But they still managed to get a win. So
we didn't get a win last year.
Despite the fact that the Box will be huge favourites against the Pumas, you can't write them off.
Yeah, so we get ideal for us. This is so, I'm just saying, blindingly obvious stuff. We get two
wins.
That's
what we do. It's what we do.
It's what pundits do. We pundit. We win two games with bonus points.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, it might be bonus points that decides us.
Could be.
Could be. Because they've got the Boxer ahead of us on points differential because they pumped us.
They did pump us.
And if they win because they're on...
It's 43-10.
I think it's fitting if we end like on...
3,600 points or something.
I always think point stuff is a bit of bullshit, but I think it's actually quite fitting in this regard if we both end on the same points, but they beat us because they fucking pumped us. You know? I think it would be fitting. Anyway.
Good job, Argentina.
Well done, Argentina.
Sorry to gloss over that one, but we moaned a lot. We didn't moan, but we cried.
It was the biggest loss of all time. The biggest loss since this podcast started and also since rugby in New Zealand started.
There you go.
Yeah.
Historic.
Yeah.
Elsewhere.
Oh God, there's so much more rugby.
There's a World Cup on. I haven't seen two of the games yet. That's how much rugby there's been on.
Yeah.
I watched Canada's game against Australia.
Yeah.
And they pumped them 46-5.
Canada are a thing, aren't they?
Canada are very good. It was like one...
This is turning into like a Joe Rogan podcast where it goes forever.
One try each early and then Canada just... Yeah, just pumped them. Australia had chances. Australia defended like demons for a while, but they just couldn't... They couldn't match it with the Canadians. The Canadians are very, very good side.
Incredible side.
Sophie DeGoody's got a bit of the... John Eels feel about her because she's the lock who's really always around the park and she kicks the goals.
Nice.
Although the goal kicking was a bit shit for Canada and New Zealand this week.
Have we got, do we know who's the semi-finalists are?
We do.
Can you tell me that?
But first you need to know that New Zealand beat South Africa.
I know that.
It was 10-all at halftime.
They got the first try.
Which was a massive.
They went all Rusty on it.
Yeah.
Did some plays.
Swiss the Brain, who used to work with Rusty. So they've got a bit of connection going on. They pulled out all the... Like, you know, out of the box thinking to try and
fuck with that shit.
To rattle the Black Ferns, and it worked. It worked really well, but the Black Ferns came back second half. So 46-17 is a bit of a pumping in the end.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be, in women's rugby, we're supposed to be streets ahead of the South African girls.
Yeah.
But they are coming along really at a high rate of knots. They're great. Like, they weren't even supposed to be in the quarters.
Yeah, that's right. Beating Italy was a big deal.
So they are coming along. Really, really well. They're a high potential team.
I remember watching them at the tournament in New Zealand, and I thought, fuck, if these guys get some training, they all look like athletes. Mm-hmm. They all look like Serena Williams. Like, super, super powerful, like, able to physically dominate, you know, got that fucking power in them.
Yep.
And if they can get a little bit more conditioning and a little bit more... rugby IQ behind them and good training and tactics and a little touch more professionalism.
Well, they've got Swiss the Brain as their coach now, and I feel like he's taken them to another level. Yeah. So, yeah, I hope the game continues
and
to grow.
And they just seem to be loving it as well, eh?
Fuck yeah.
Loving the game.
Really positive attitude. But yeah, 46-17, Braxton Sorensen McGee is this 18-year-old winger for the Black Ferns who just continues to impress. She bagged a couple of tries. She's been really good.
What's the been great about the box, Renee though, Holmes, though, was the one thing, shit. The one thing I've loved about the box is the fact that the whole South Africa's really got behind them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's been so good.
It's been a great storyline.
Hopefully they can get it, but you know how like the All Black, when you see an All Black ad in New Zealand, there'll be an All Black and there'll be a Black Fern. If you see a Super Rugby ad in New Zealand, there'll be a Super Rugby athlete and a female Super Rugby athlete. Mm-hmm. Like, if they can start getting a little bit of parody marketing-wise and stuff, it'll just go leaps and bounds.
For sure. There's heaps of growth area potential there.
Yeah.
France beat Ireland only 18-13. That's really... Apparently, there's a bite in that game. I haven't seen it yet.
The France... Ireland went up... Ireland were up 13-0.
Really? I haven't seen it.
Yeah, so it was really... That was a last-minute try.
Really? Shit, that's on my list to watch.
Yeah.
And then England pumped Scotland 40-8. Which is, I don't think that's a... England is supposed to probably win by more than that. I don't know. So England is going to play France in a Six Nations collection. New Zealand's going to play Canada. Canada's been good against us in recent years.
Yeah, they've beaten us in New Zealand, haven't they?
So, very tasty. The semi-finals is kind of what I've been looking forward to this entire comp.
And then, so we're just going to get semi-finals this week.
Yes.
So we can talk about more about that next week.
Yes.
On my podcast, which will go really, really big because it'll be a women's rugby podcast.
Yeah.
It'll be huge.
I watched a bunch of Pacific Nations Cup today.
Quickly, go through it.
The USA.
Hey, come on, dude. Let's play New Zealand's fastest
played
growing.
Samoa.
I don't know the results. I don't know the results.
The USA played Samoa, right? Yeah. Both of them are none and two. So they had two losses.
Yeah.
In the opening two rounds, like Samoa lost to Tonga and Fiji.
Yeah.
USA lost to Canada and Japan.
Samoa.
So Samoa played America. It's in America.
Yeah.
It's only for the fifth, sixth playoff, but it's the World Cup qualifier. Whoever wins goes to the World Cup.
Okay, Samoa won.
They lost.
What?
Yeah, America beat them.
What?
Yeah, America beat Samoa.
What?
Yeah. So America's going to the World Cup. Samoa has to play Chile.
What the fuck?
I know.
Samoa's got nobody at the moment.
What? Yeah, I mean, they had like Christian Lilifano coming off the bench. They had Michael Alalatoa.
And our NPC is not letting any of them play either.
Yeah, some of them were playing NPC rugby instead.
Jesus.
So.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other games?
And then Fiji played Canada in semifinal.
Fiji won.
Fiji pumped them, and Japan played Tonga.
Japan won.
Japan pumped them. So okay, and Japan will play Fiji in the final of the Pacific Nations Cup. That'll be a good game.
All right, and much of my discuss, Hawke's Bay beat the Bay of Plenty over the weekend. In
Golden Point, drop goal to Lincoln McClutchie.
And the Loggerwood is on staying, despite Tasman giving
Tasman gave it a bloody good crack, but they conceded a try the last minute. Auckland got a win over Manawatu.
Boom.
Your Harbour Boys lost.
Still winless.
It was a close one.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
They lost against Waikato by a point.
And we lost against County Spanakau, a game we shouldn't have lost it the week before. Anyway, that is the podcast. Fantastic. Is there anything else we need to be talking about?
What else is there?
What there is to remind people this is called
2 Cents Gets Distracted. It's a rugby podcast on all your podcasting platforms. Thanks again to our sponsor. Rugby Forecast. If you want to check out the forecasted odds for the Rugby Championship and the madness that it is, check it out. It'll be down in the description.
Yes.
Otherwise, I'm going to have a chat with Graham, who runs the podcast or the forecast later on in the week.
Check that out. It's going to be awesome.
He'll be a guest on the show.
Well done, Springboks. Well done, South African fans, for being very dignified in your response to this. We appreciate it. And we appreciate you for watching. We really do. Good on you, mate.
Thank you, Tones.
All right.
Jaina.
Bye-bye. Hurry up.